But tonight what we're studying is relative to God's nature. And what can we really know about God's nature? Well, in Job chapter 9, verse 10, when Job was going through some of his difficulties, we see it says, "Which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." The nature of God is actually revealed through his creation. That's one of the ways we understand about God, is through his creation. And the Bible tells us that. It says in Job that his ways are past finding out. The scripture I posted on Facebook, it says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." God's way of doing things sometimes does not make sense to us, does it? If we were God, we would do it differently. In fact, many times we're scratching our head and say, "God, why did you do it that way? If it was me, here's what I would do. I would zap that fellow. I'd do away with that one. I would teach him a lesson." God's ways are not our ways. And the Bible says here, past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. And we're going to, in this series, explore some of those. And we're trying to get to the nature of God. And tonight we're going to focus on the two aspects, light and darkness. But Romans 11:33 tells us, again, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Many of the things that happen that we don't understand is due to the nature of God. And we are trying to work it out based upon human understanding. "Well, God, why did you let that happen?" And it's because, and we get mad at God. And it's because if we could understand his nature, it would be clear why he let that happen. But he has told us that my ways are not your ways. And so when we try and work God out in our own image, that's when we have problems. That's when people become disillusioned. That's when people become bitter because they see some tragedy happen in their life and they don't understand. They prayed and it didn't seem to go the way they wanted to, or something else happened. And that's because they don't understand the nature of God. But one thing we can understand that God has told us to do, and that is to trust him. Job got that in the end. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Despite all of the things that were happening to him that weren't explained to him, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." So what can we know about the nature of God? Anybody? What can we know about the nature of God? What does God tell us about himself? He's love. That's the foremost thing that God tells us, is that he is love. Anything else? He's just. What else does God tell us? Merciful. Amen to that. Amen to that. Merciful. And next week we're going to go into some of his attributes. But one of the things that the Bible tells us about God is that he is light. He is light. What does that mean? Well, Romans also tells us in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." So one of the things God is or can be is angry. "Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Have you ever thought about what that's saying? Hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? All right, think about it. Paul in Romans goes on to say something very profound. He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." What is he saying? Goes on in verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." What do you need to do? What do you need to see? Light. Light. If I turned off all the lights in here and it was, you couldn't see a single thing. The Bible says that for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now when you come across a scripture like that, you need to go, wait a minute. The invisible things are clearly seen? What in heaven's name does that mean? being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, we're going to come back to that, probably not until next week, but that would be a good scripture to go meditate upon. Because when you come across scriptures like that, we read them and we pretend that we understand them. Okay? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So let's look at that a little bit. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says this, "Hast thou not known?" Let me turn off some of these lights so it's a little bit easier to see. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." So we're learning a little bit about, from the scripture, a little bit about his nature. Revelation 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." You know, I met a Jehovah's Witness once who was arguing with me about the deity of Jesus. And I showed them the scripture in Isaiah 9:6 where it says his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And she said, "Well, he's the Mighty God, but he's not the Almighty God." So then I went to Revelation 1:8. And it says he is not just the Mighty God, he is the Almighty God. And they left. They never came back. But what scripture is telling us about the nature of God is that God is omnipresent if he wants to be. He is omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. But just because you're all powerful doesn't mean that you do everything. Let me say it again. If a bulldozer was trying to pick up an egg, how difficult would that be? If you're a bulldozer can pick up tons of stuff, can't it? But put an egg in front of a bulldozer and say, pick that up without destroying the egg. So God doesn't just have power, but he also has something else. Wisdom. Because you need wisdom to use power. Right? If I had no wisdom, I might actually go in a bulldozer and try and pick up an egg. And it probably wouldn't work for the egg. It's not a lack of power on my part that I can't pick up the egg. But I have to have wisdom. So just the fact that God can do anything doesn't mean that God is going to do everything. Because he also has wisdom. And that should tell you something about the nature of God's power and his nature. Because you don't need wisdom. You're going to use power haphazardly. Right? You don't need wisdom. You just enforce your will. But if you're going to use your power judiciously, then you also need wisdom. So I said that the Bible says many times about the nature of God. One aspect of the nature of God is that he is light. So I thought we should look at the nature of light. And light is made out of, or white light is comprised of many different colors. And they, just for describing them sake, the first scientist who broke apart the spectrum of light, anyone know who he was? He was also a very, very great Bible scholar. And in fact, he was named in the last 1,000 years. He was either number one or number two as one of the greatest men that ever lived. Anyone know? Yes. Isaac Newton was the one who first got a prism and started to scientifically realize that light could be broken into the spectrum, and started to experiment and find out about light. And he came up with the 7 colors. Of course, the number of colors are infinite, but he broke down the spectrum into the 7 colors. I don't know if I can say them all: violet, indigo, all the way down to red. So he broke up the spectrum into the 7 colors that we call the colors of the rainbow. But the Bible speaks about that God, most of all, if you could see him, if you could see him in his all, that he is light. Psalms 104, verse 2, who covereth thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. So that one of the very basic attributes of God's nature is that he is light, that he is pure. And we see that light can be broken up into colors. When we look at something and we look at this plant and what color is this? What color do you see? Do you know why you see green? Is there something in here that is green? Actually, no. The reason why you see green is because this plant is absorbing all of the other colors. So the color, the light that falls on it is being absorbed, and what is reflected, what is left, is what you're seeing. This plant is not giving off anything. Did you know that? If we turned off the light, what would you see of this plant? What color would you see? Nothing. So this plant is not emitting a color. It is reflecting a color. And what it's doing is it's subtracting all the other colors and leaving green. And that's a clue to the nature of light. So anything you see, if it's not emitting a color, then it's reflecting a color. And so when we see things, it's not because they're giving off anything. It's because they're reflecting. They're actually filtering out some of the color. That's why when we see the sun set, what color does it turn? Orange. Does anyone know why it turns orange? Huh? No. Because the atmosphere is filtering out all the other colors. The sun itself is like a white light. That's why when the rain falls and the sunshine goes through it, what do we see happen? We see all the other colors because the raindrops are acting just like the prism. But the sun itself is actually a white light. It's comprised of all the colors. So when it starts to set and we see it as red, it's because the atmosphere is filtering out all the other colors. And what we're seeing is subtraction from light. So the nature of God, the Bible tells us many places, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now the sun goes through cycles. Anyone know how long the cycle is? Every 11 years the sun has a cycle and it gets brighter and it gets dimmer, but we don't notice it because it's already so bright. But the sun goes through cycles. And every 11 years, the sunspots activity increases. But the Bible says about God, there is no variableness. The scripture says, I am God and I change not. He is just light. In fact, in Revelation, there won't be a need for the sun or the moon. Revelation 21:23 says, and the city had no need, in that new Jerusalem, no need of the sun, neither of the moon, no, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Isn't that amazing? Now, at my workplace, in the corridors, and I think those of you who have stopped at any of the oases on 94 between here and Chicago, anyone stopped at any of those oases? Now, when you go in there, have you ever looked up and just studied the lighting? You probably haven't. You have? Okay, we used to. For 5 years, we used to stop twice a week at the same oasis. Can you tell me anything unusual about the lighting in the oasis? Okay, but can you actually see the light? Why? Okay, next time you go in there, look very carefully, and you'll find you can't actually look at the light because it's reflected. The light is coming, and it's hidden, and it's reflecting off the ceiling. There, you can't look directly at the light. It's a reflected light. And at my workplace, they do the same thing. You can't actually see the bulbs because they're actually facing up. And so the light spreads all over. To me, that's how I imagine the New Jerusalem is going to be. It won't be like we're looking at the sun. There'll just be light all the way around. You see, because the Bible tells us that part of the nature of God is that he is light. And you may be wondering, where am I going with this? Well, just be patient. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom the honor and the power everlasting, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul, writing to Timothy, describing an aspect of God, said, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light. If you were to come up with any physical symbol for God, it would be just light. It would be light. So now, how did God create? How does light create? You ever thought about that? I mean, if I just shone a very bright light at you, what would you see? Just light. Just light, right? I mean, if I turned off the light, you'd see nothing. But if I made this place so bright that you have to shield you, like looking at the sun. When we look at the sun, although we're told it's got sunspots, we can't see them. Because it's so bright, there has to be a filter for you to see it. So now, the Bible tells us that God is light. Right? God is light. Hold on to that thought. Let's look at light. How does light create? Because if all you have is light, what you have is that square on the left. If all you have is white light, it's bright, but there's nothing for you to see, is there? Right? You're all looking at me. Remember what I said about how you see. How do you see this plant? What is it that makes you see this plant? How does it work? So the light is coming on, hits this plant, and something gets reflected. What gets reflected? The green color. And so you see this plant as green, right? Right? So now that gives you a clue to how God could create. To create a picture then, if you have just light, all you see is whiteness, but to make a picture, you have to start subtracting colors. Do you understand what I'm going? For there to be a picture, some of the colors have to be subtracted. That's why I said when you saw the sun as being red, it's because all the other colors are being subtracted or being filtered. So for light to create a picture, if you just have white, you don't know what the picture is. It's too bright. So you have to start subtracting. So pictures are made from light that has been filtered or subtracted. So now when we subtract the different colors, you can see something beautiful. Right? It's still light, but now some of the frequencies, some of the colors have been subtracted in various places to produce, to create a picture. Hope I'm not going over anybody's head. I'm going real slow here because I'm going somewhere with this. So for light to create, light has to subtract. Because if it's just white light, it just does what? If I shined a bright light in your eyes, what are you going to see? You can't see either with just a bright, bright light. You know, you ever been on a road where someone's got their high beams up? Isn't that annoying? And you just want to put on your high beams back to teach them a lesson? So for light to create a picture, it can't be just the full light. It's got to subtract some of itself. Are you following me? It has to be filtered to create a picture. So in that picture up there, there are elements of white, but there are elements of blue. There are elements of all the different shades. So to produce a picture, the light has to subtract some of the color, some of the frequencies, some of the brilliance to produce something that is beautiful. Sister Mary, hold on.
I was just thinking when Moses was hitting in the cleft of the rock and he was able to see a portion, maybe the Lord subtracted some of his light so he could see.
You're reading my book, so just wait. We're going to get there. Again, the Bible tells us about the nature of God, and this is what this is about, light and darkness. Jesus in John 8:12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now remember what I said, for there to be a picture, you can't have the light full strength, bright white, because you can't see anything except be blinded. For there to be a picture, some of the light has got to subtract itself. Right? John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While he have light, believe in the light, that he may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. So, when it came to Jesus now, we know that the Bible speaks of him as also being the light. And God also being the light. But, in the process of the incarnation, the Bible speaks about God emptying himself. Let's look at that scripture. Philippians 2:5. Remember what I said about how light creates? The only way light can create a picture is by subtraction. It has to take out some of the colors to produce a difference. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was in the form of God. But verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. In order to create a picture, in order to relate to us, the light had to subtract some of its glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? In order to be able to come down to earth and not just be a blinding light, the Bible's, and I'll give you the literal translation. This is Young's literal translation, says, but did empty himself, in other words, subtracted, the form of a servant having taken, in the likeness of men having been made. So for God to become man, to be in the fleshly form, he had to subtract some of his glory. He was still the light, but he had to subtract some of his glory. Did empty himself. And that's why we learn, and I don't want to give it away, but in John, remember just before Jesus went back, he said, Father, glorify me. I'm going back. I want the glory that I had. You understand what I'm saying? So for the light to paint a certain picture, God had to empty himself to be what the flesh could contain. Sister Audrey.
So then how did Adam and Eve lose? What happened to their light?
Okay, we're going to get to that. Very good question. So the Bible speaks that light can create by subtraction. Light, to create anything, has to give up something. Has to limit itself. As I said, a picture that's just pure white has no contrast, no color. But a picture that starts to subtract some of the colors gives us a picture, gives us a beautiful image. And that's exactly what God did in the form of Christ Jesus, that he did empty himself. In other words, subtract some of his glory, and being made in the form of a servant, the likeness of men. What about darkness? I'm going to get back to your question, but we've talked about light. What about darkness? What about darkness? 1 John 1:5 says this. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What can you see in darkness? You can't see anything in darkness. You can't see anything in darkness. Now, I said that light has to subtract to create. What does darkness have to do? That's right. Darkness cannot do anything. It has to add. Was that Isha? Okay, very good. There's two principles for you. There's two principles for you. For light to produce something, it has to subtract. For darkness to have anything, it can only add. It has to add something. Something has to be added to the darkness to make anything. If you have darkness, you have nothing. The only way you can have something to darkness is to add. But for light, it is a giving, a subtraction. This then is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him darkness at all. Satan can't do anything unless something is added, unless you give him something. Because he is Zero. He is nothing. Isaiah 9:2 explains something. It says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. We talked in before about Adam losing his glory. All mankind had fallen into darkness. But this prophecy is about the light that was going to come, which is Jesus Christ. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Symbolically, the most darkest darkness is what? Death. Death, right? Death is symbolically the darkest darkness. That's the darkness you don't come back from. But Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 42:7, and if you be patient with me, I'm going to get there, to open the blind eyes so that they could see, to bring out the prisoners from the prison of death, and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. See, God is trying to show something, the difference between darkness and light. His nature is light. And for light to create, it has to give. It has to subtract from itself. It has to subtract. Can darkness create? What can darkness create? Nothing. Darkness cannot create because it cannot subtract. It's already at the bottom. It has nothing to give. For darkness to improve or to be changed, the only thing that can be done is for something to be added. Darkness, by its very nature, is just that. It's the lowest of the low. For darkness to change, light has to be added. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath done what? Blinded. Means people cannot see, which believe not. Less what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image. So for the darkness to be changed, light has to be added. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So darkness cannot create. Light has to be added. Look at this. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that starts to tell you something right away. If we were in darkness, was there anything that we could give? What did I say about darkness? For it to change, what has to happen? Something has to be added. We cannot change darkness. Only light can give. Darkness cannot change unless something is added. The Bible says, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, how has that happened? Well, number one, by his written word. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is what? A lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. God called mankind out of the darkness after Adam fell, first through his word, written as I described Sunday in the stars, and then on parchment, and then by the living word, which was Jesus Christ. The scripture I read before, John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We could not save ourselves. We were in darkness. Darkness cannot give anything. Darkness can only change if something is added, which is the light that came from Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I know this is all new. You haven't heard this before. So, Now we've set this all up and you understand about how light can create. I want to go back to the beginning, but actually before the beginning, if you could imagine that. So before the beginning, what was there? Light. Before the beginning, there was who? God. And God is? And so I'm just picturing before the beginning, just this big old circle of light. That was all there was. There was no space, there was no time, moon, stars. There was only God. And God, since there was only God, you can't even say big or small because there was nothing else. There was nothing to measure God by. It's just everything. God is everything. And all there was God. Right? The I Am. And the I Am was light. And the I Am was all there was. So before the beginning, all there was God. And the Bible tells us that God dwells and is covered by light. So that's all there was. You couldn't, there was nothing in creation. You couldn't, even though it was light, because there was nothing. For us to see something, there has to be a contrast, a difference in either light or color. But all there was God before the beginning. Then let's go to creation and let's see something here. So now, in the beginning, we know we start with God. Someone said something? In the beginning, right? In the beginning, again, we start with God, which is light. But what did I say, if you're going to create and you're light, how does light create? It has to subtract. So if God was everything, and can't even say everywhere because there wasn't a there. So the only way God can create now is to do what? Subtract what? Himself. So if light subtracts, what is there? Darkness. Isn't that what Genesis says? So when God subtracted some of himself to create, what was there was what? Right. And the earth was without form, or became without form, and darkness. Because if God is all there is, and there isn't anything else, the only way God can create is to subtract some of himself. And so when light is subtracted, what is there? Darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So creation always involved God limiting himself. Because he is all and there was all. There wasn't anything outside of him. There wasn't a... Sister Mary, let me come.
And there was light. That means God still had subtracted some of himself to reveal that light.
Right? Absolutely. You get it. To have a picture, you still have to have light. But it's not all of the light. If it's all of the light, you can't approach it. Isn't that what it said? That no one can approach God. No man at any time has seen God. Because God in his full... orb deity is nothing so much but light that we could not even see. If I shined a really bright light right in your eyes, it might be light, but you're not going to see, Brother Jesse.
In fact, that's what happened when they first built the temple. The light was so bright the priest couldn't minister.
That's right. The glory of God filled it. So we see that creation is explained by God subtracting. Light subtracts to create. Darkness can't do a thing. It needs something to be added. So the process of creation was always steps where God was limiting his own sovereignty. Do you understand what I'm saying? This goes into what I taught before about free will. In creation, for God to create, since he was all there was, he had to filter himself, so to speak. Brother Malcolm.
I was just looking at the projector, and I was wondering about, like, the color black then. Like, how does that work?
Color black is simple. It's the absence of light. Because in that area where you see black, there is less light. It's actually not absolutely black. If you were to turn off the light, you'd still see the black areas glow. But it is so much less light that it appears black. It's just like I said, a picture. How, when you have a picture is made out of light that has been filtered, that has been subtracted in different areas, or else you can't see the picture. If it's just at its full brightness, if I was to somehow turn that projector up and crank it up, that picture would disappear and all you would see would be brightness. So to have creation, God limited his sovereignty, is what I'm saying. He limited the light, so to speak. Sister Audrey. When we were born again, we were created, or Adam was created, in his image. The Bible speaks, and I'm getting to it, so let me wait till I get to that. So creation really was God limiting himself. Again, remember, before God created anything, there was only God. There wasn't anything. There isn't anything that was outside of God. It wasn't like he took some material and started to fashion the earth. There was nothing before God. God was everything. So for God to create anything, it had to be created basically out of himself. He had to, just as I explained how light makes a picture, you have to filter or subtract some of the colors for a picture to appear. That was God creating. So creation was really God limiting himself, because before creation, he was everything. There wasn't anything. That's why the Bible says in the New Testament, it says that by him all things consist and have their being. There was not anything made that was made. Right? Before him. All things consist and have their being. So creation, the light creating, is by God limiting his sovereignty.
It says, in him we live and move and have our being.
Amen. Amen. Paul, quoting some of the Greek scholars, quoted that to them when he was witnessing about the unknown God. In him we live and move and have our being. So for God to create, he was always giving up his sovereignty to some extent. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. Before the fall, man's glory, man was just like God, if you look, would be light. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So by creating, God was limiting his sovereignty. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. When God did that, when God said that, he was limiting his sovereignty. That's why there are multiple wills. There is not just God's will. God looked at Jerusalem and said, I would that none be lost. But there is going to be some lost, as I taught before, because there are other wills. Because the light has withdrawn, God has given dominion and sovereignty. So there are other wills, like Satan, that says, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High, I will sit in the sides of the north. So we begin to see the picture of why it is that there can be things happening, even though God is omnipotent, even though he's all powerful, because for him to create, he had to limit himself. It's not a limitation based upon his power. It's a limitation based upon his plan of creation.
I think that's why when the disciples said to Jesus, you know, show us how to pray, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, giving back sovereignty to God.
Amen. As I've said many times, that prayer, or one part of prayer, is returning that sovereignty to God willingly. And saying, God, you decide for me. God will not take it. We have to ask him. We have to submit ourselves back to him in prayer. That's what prayer should always be. You should, somewhere in your prayer, you should say, Lord, take my will today. You make my choices. And you know, I pray that all the time, because I just want God to make the choice. Because when I make it, it goes wrong. I always mess up. Amen. So now let's look about the creation 4,000 years later of Jesus. We see, and as I pointed out in Philippians, that he emptied himself, that there was a subtraction for God to be encased in this flesh. Because God cannot really be encased in this flesh and still be the full glory of God. This flesh can't contain it. And so we see this in relation to Jesus, which is just the nature of flesh. Heaven and earth, Mark 13:31, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They were asking Jesus about the day of the rapture, or the day of his coming. But then Jesus says something very strange. He says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. How could that possibly be, that the Son doesn't know the name? You have a... Well, I explained it, really it was explained in Philippians. The Bible said he emptied himself. There is a limitation of the flesh, not of the spirit. And this limitation is not because, is because actually, again, and I don't know how to explain it any better than this, is because that day depends on choices, right? The Bible says that that day shall not come until this gospel of the kingdom be preached to the whole world. And then, what does it say? Right, so this gospel of the kingdom being preached, is it going to be preached by angels? Is Jesus going to come back down and preach it? Who is going to preach it? So it depends. That day actually is not a, it is a set day, but it is such a billions and billions of possibilities that flesh can't know it. I believe, and this is just my opinion now, this is not the gospel. I'm giving you my opinion. The reason is that this day depends on so many choices that only the full orb deity can know. The flesh, even though that was God too, could not contain it. That's why Jesus said in John 17, I'm coming to it, he says, restore to me the glory, the full Shekinah glory that I had before. That means Jesus in the flesh had less of the light in order to paint the picture, the image that we see, right? The Bible says he is the express image of the invisible God. But the image is an image. That means God cannot really be expressed in a human form other than in the best that God could do was Jesus, in other words. But Jesus could not contain the fullness of every single divinity or part that was the glory of God. That's why Jesus said, restore to me the glory. Now, that would not make sense if he had the full glory all the time. You understand what I'm saying? We're coming to that. Someone has a question? Sister Audrey? What I'm saying is that the day was not fixed yet. It was not knowable. It depends on wills, on other people's wills and choices, is what I'm saying. So there was not a date that could have been told even if someone wanted to. You understand what I'm saying? Well, there's less possibilities now, but back then there was 10 to the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions. There's still billions now, but it's less because we're getting closer to the time. But it's unknowable because we can't know. It's just like the number pi. Computers have calculated that out to millions of digits. But does it end? No, it's infinite. And only an infinite being can comprehend an infinite number. Now, I know this is all heady stuff, but just bear with me. I'm going to try and bring it down back to earth. Okay? So now, look at this. Jesus himself, the body that the glory was came in, he didn't start out coming out the womb talking and healing people. Why? Because he was limited by the flesh. Look what the scripture says in Luke 2:40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace of God. So even the body, the baby, had to grow. The baby had to be diapered. The baby, although that was God in the flesh, the flesh was limited the glory. The container limited the glory, so to speak. Because Solomon himself, when he built the tabernacle, says, can God dwell in a house made by hands? And the answer is not truly can. Just the bare minimum. Again, it's like a bulldozer trying to pick up an egg. God's power and infinite glory and light is so much that in creation he had to filter himself in order to create. And the child, Jesus himself, who was God in the flesh actually had to grow. So he did, although the Bible, you know, we have these books that says miracles he did as a baby. The Bible tells us clearly when his first miracle was, at the marriage supper. And he had to grow in grace and capability. Go ahead, Malcolm. Absolutely, this little body is finished, but it's destined for dust. it's destined for dust. It says, dust you art, and to dust you will return. We are waiting for the last part of the whole plan, which is the revelation of the sons of God. Back to the, and I'm coming to that, Sister Audrey. Yeah, I will teach, this is a series, so I'll be teaching some more and getting into the possibilities. But really what it comes down to is God knows all the possibilities. He doesn't predetermine them. That's what we taught before, that we have choices. If there was a fixed possibility, that would mean you do not have choice. So, but the human frame, flesh, cannot contain the billions to the billions to the billionth power of possibilities. Only an infinite being can comprehend infinite numbers. And so even though Jesus was God in the flesh, he was limited by what the flesh could contain. And that's why Philippians said he emptied himself. Remember what it said? He emptied himself. To paint the picture of Jesus, God had to subtract a whole bunch to get down into flesh. Because as I've told you, light can only paint a picture if you start subtracting different colors, if you start splitting it. But in those colors is beauty, is variation. Okay, let's get back to us now. Here's the scripture I was telling you about. Just before he went back to die in John, this is what Jesus says. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before. Again, this is proof that Jesus, God in the flesh, in the human self, had subtracted a whole bunch of light, a whole bunch of glory, a whole bunch of divinity. He was still God, but it limited his full orb deity. It didn't limit him for miracles or anything like that, but there were certain things when it came to free choice and will that he was limited. I could have put another scripture in there where it said, when Jesus knew, I think it's in Matthew 18, that they were talking, it shows that there was a point in time when he grew aware of what they were thinking. It wasn't that he had knew it from the beginning, because he was limited by the vessel. To paint a picture, God has to subtract some of his divinity in order to paint the image. I hope you are, this is not, blowing someone's philosophy here. I am just showing you the truth from the Bible here. This is what Jesus said, to restore the glory which I had with thee before the world was. How could that be if he already had all the glory in that same body? That again shows you that Jesus, that God had limited himself in order to come in a human form. Again, limiting his sovereignty. So for creation from darkness, though, remember what I said? Something has to be added. Now here we're coming to, I'm almost finished. I'm coming to the good part. We were in where? Darkness. So for us to be created, what has to happen? Something has to be added. Jesus, of course, because he was God, something had to be subtracted for him to come down here. But for us, because we had lost our glory, something has to be put back. Now look what the scripture says. John 17:22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? What God is saying is that he is going to restore the light, the glory, so that we can be, one more time, that we can share in his light. Because we were in darkness, and you can't subtract anything more from darkness. But God so loved the world that he gave. Subtraction is giving, is taking away from yourself. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. Now it's hidden. We can't see it. It was hidden in Jesus too, until the time of transfiguration. It says in Matthew, I think, 17, I'm not sure which scripture. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took them up to a high mountain and was transfigured. The glory, even the filtered glory now, was too bright for them to look at. See, we are going to return to the image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass, that means a mirror, the glory of the Lord, here's it coming, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Even as by the Spirit. That's how we get, that's what's added to the darkness. Just as in Genesis, what happened? The Spirit of God moved over the waters, and then God said something, let there be light. And there was light. God is saying the same thing to us. His Spirit needs to move over us to bring us out of darkness and say, let there be light. That's what the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is saying. And are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We're in the face of Jesus. If you could all stand with me, I'm done for tonight. Amen. You have a question.
I might throw a wrench in your teaching a little bit, but I have a question, especially when you bring up that scripture in John 17 where it says that they are, Jesus and God are, and the Father are one, so and he has called us to be one with him. One signifies perfect unity, right? But rather than necessarily subtracting from the deity of God, Hebrews 10:20 says that by a new and living way which he being Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Amen. Wouldn't it be more so that God veiled himself? He veiled his glory through the flesh?
He veiled his glory, but it's just like I showed in Genesis, where it appears dark, but it's not still quite dark. So there was still some light. What I'm saying is that God could not appear fully as God in the flesh, as the first scripture said that no man at any time hath seen God, because it would be just too much. We could not, in human form, and similarly, even with the physical body of Jesus Christ, he had to grow. He had to grow. And the more he grew in human form, the more the manifestation of the deity could manifest. But there was a limit. There was a limit because flesh has a limit. And when it reached the limit, that was as much as it could do in flesh. But it was enough for redemption. It was enough for us to see the light. And it was through the flesh, the veil of the flesh, that we did get redemption. Now, he didn't have the full-orbed deity of Christ, of God, because he had given up some of that glory. That's why in John 17 it says, Father, give me back the glory that I had with you, so that we could be fully one. And now, when you get to the end of Revelation, there's another mystery scripture there that says that the Son will give up so that God may be all in all. We'll get to that in a future Bible study. But I hope you've been blessed by seeing a different perspective on how God creates, that he created through limiting himself. That's how he created. And he has made a way for us to come out of darkness and has promised that we will be changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we, if we looking unto Jesus, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. What he's saying is if you put faith in Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our salvation, are going to be changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? By the Spirit. Just as it did in Genesis when it moved on the darkness and God brought light. Amen. Amen. God commanded the light to shine. 2 Corinthians 4:6. To give the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I know this hasn't been kind of Bible study. I've taught like this for a long time, but I hope that you will bear with me and meditate upon it, and I hope it will bring understanding. Next time you look at light by itself, it's too bright. It has to actually be subtracted to actually bring forth a picture. And that's exactly what in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God. How do you get an image? How do you see an image? A light has to shine. Right? A light has to shine. Otherwise, you can't see an image. You can only see an image if there is a light shining. Who is the image of the invisible God? So, in the flesh, in the physical, that's the only amount of God you're ever going to see. Because we cannot see God in his full orbed light, dwelling in light. But we can see Jesus. That's what this scripture says. If you look in the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory. Amen. Meditate upon that scripture. That's such a beautiful scripture that we're going to be changed so that we can be one even as he is one. And that's what he prayed in John 17. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now what that means is that whatever glory Jesus had as a man, that's what we can have. It doesn't mean we are God now. But whatever glory he had, which was still tremendous, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. Amen. So I hope that you will meditate upon that and how God creates and that he's the Father of light. This is part one that I'm teaching about the nature of God. And this week was about light and darkness. Satan is just full of darkness. He can't create nothing. He can't do nothing. But God has pulled us out of the darkness by shining the light. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you for your presence.